Welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministers Bible Study. You have no idea how happy I am to hear myself make this announcement again. Because just a few weeks ago, because of an allergic reaction from something that was introduced into my system, I could not speak enough to make a complete sentence. All the while, all I could think of was, will I ever be able to do another Bible study? But I thank God for all the positive thoughts, prayers, and well wishes that went out into the universe and up to God for me. I smile as I say, welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministry Bible Study. Message of the Bible, Lesson 10. I am Elder Faye, your teacher for the Message of the Bible series. You know, it's sometimes a misconception that disciples of Christ, those who are committed to spreading the gospel, do not go through the same hardships and disappointments in this world as those who have not made this commitment. Well, fortunately, we do. I say fortunately because as we go through these hardships and disappointments, the difference is we have the promises of God that gives us strength to continue our work with confidence because we believe that the Bible is the Word of God and has the power to change any situation we may encounter. In 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, we find Peter counseling believers on this very same thing. Listen. In verse 12, beloved, think it's not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange things happen to you, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, the 13th verse, it says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 16th, the 18th verse, we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. In Romans, the 8th chapter, the 37th, the 39th verse tells us, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loves us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God, the love of God, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears are for today or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can ever separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above and the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to really listen and take note of the last statement in Romans 8 chapter 39 verse. The 39th verse said, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our purpose in this Bible study is to come to know and understand beyond the shadow of a doubt just what is this love of God that is revealed only in Christ Jesus that keeps us from being separated from God's love. Let's look at Hebrew, the 4th chapter, the 14th, the 16th verse. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. The 15th verse says, for we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. I conclude then that it is our revelation and understanding of Christ as our high priest that keeps us from being separated from God's love. I pray that the Holy Spirit will lead you to your own conclusion as we continue to study God's word. And the 16th verse said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help and find grace to help us in time of need. If this throne of grace did not exist, why would he give us such a bold invitation? As I searched the scriptures and labored in the spirit, looking and seeking the throne of grace, not that it was not revealed to me some time ago, but my recent labor has been for God to give me a revelation that would enable me to introduce you to this throne in a way that you will come to know and see and receive this wonderful benefit. So let's pray to God that he will enable us to see with our spiritual eyes, hear with our spiritual ears, and perceive in our hearts by the Holy Spirit the messages for us that are revealed in the Holy Scriptures. Why is it so hard for us to believe that there is a throne of grace where we can go right now, yesterday, and obtain mercy and grace to help us in our time of need? Could it be out of fear because we have a misconception of the throne and he who sits on it and rules from it? Or could it be that we don't understand the depths of God's love for us? I do believe that it's a combination of both. With the help of the Holy Spirit, let's see if we can work through this together. I think most of us really is afraid of God. I really think we see ourselves as sinners who don't deserve help, and God is just sitting somewhere waiting for the day to come to punish us. That is so far from the truth. Let me share something with you. Do you realize that when man fell from grace, God dwelled here on earth with us until Jesus was in place as a way for us to have access to him? Proving his promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember in previous lessons, God chose a nation of people to show the whole world that he was the only true God. When he set up his system of government, remember that the high priest was the only man allowed into the holiest of holies behind the veil to make an atonement for the people and himself by the sprinkling of blood? There was something there in this temple called a mercy seat. I don't think we studied much about the mercy seat, so let's take a quick look at this seat. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the Ark of the Covenant. You can read about this mercy seat in Exodus, the 16th chapter, the 2nd verse. And the Lord said to Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak to him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from the mercy seat that was on the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubims, and he spoke unto him. You can read that in Numbers, the 7th chapter, the 8th and 9th verse. God was actually here on earth communing with his people. When Christ drew his last breath and said, it is finished, and the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, God left earth and said he would not anymore dwell in a temple made with hands. Are you getting this? There was a mercy seat. The invitation was for us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace, that unlimited favor, to help us in time of need. Now, let's take a look at the throne God sits on after leaving earth. Let's go to Revelation 4. Yes, we're going to Revelation 4. I have been told so many times that I am afraid of the book of Revelation. It is too scary. I think that's because when we go there, we overthink what is being said. We try to figure out who and what the beasts are, why they got so many eyes and so many heads. I leave that to those God has given the gifts of prophecy to figure out. But God has anointed me to teach, and he shows me things that only a teacher can see. You must see God to reveal to you your gift. This is a book of Revelation, and it must be revealed to you. Let's look at Revelation 1, first chapter, third verse. The scripture said, "Blessed is everyone who read the book." So there is a blessing for reading, not understanding. You have a blessing coming to you for just reading this book. And as you read it and pray to God, he will reveal it to you and you will come to understand it. Let's look at verse 4. "After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I first heard speaking to me was like a trumpet, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.'" Verse 2 said, "At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of a jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 elders, were 24 other thrones. And seated on that were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. In verse 5 it says, "From the throne came flashings of light and a rumbling and peals of thunder. In front of the throne 7 lamps were blazing. These are the 7 spirits of God." In verse 6 it says, "Also in front of the throne was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were 4 living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. In the 7th verse, the first creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox, the third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. In the 8th verse, each of the 4 living creatures had 6 wings and was covered with eyes all around. And on his wings, day and night, they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" And in the 9th verse it said, "When the living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to him who sat on the throne and the living who live forever and ever." The 10th verse said, "The 24 elders fell down before him who sat on the throne and worshiped him who live forever and ever. They laid their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor. For you created all things, and by you they were created and have their being.'" From this description, with all of the things that are going on around the throne, I can see why approaching this throne would be so intimidating. But if we don't listen carefully, there is something else happening that we'll miss while all this activity is going on. Let's go to Revelation 5, the 5th chapter. Listen carefully. The fifth chapter said, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel with a loud voice, who is worthy, proclaiming, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And the third verse says, and no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. And the fourth verse says, so I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep, because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to look and to loose its seven seals. And verse 6 said, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And in the eighth verse it says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Things are changing here. Each having a harp, a golden bowl of incense, which is the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Things around the throne are beginning to shift. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Christ has been taken his place at the right hand of the Father as our way to God. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And verse 10 it said, you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. In verse 11 it said, then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And the 12th verse said, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Look how God himself has diverted all that attention from away from him to the Lamb who was slain. In the 13th verse it says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. Here God and Christ is becoming united. We see here that here is the Lamb which was slain, was pulled in to share the throne with the Almighty God. And in verse 14, it said, then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lived forever and ever. For our sake, the throne of justice has now become a throne of grace. How? Let's look at Psalms, the 89th chapter, in the 14th verse. It said, justice and judgment are the habitations of the throne. On one hand, we see a throne where no living flesh can be justified. Let's look at Matthew, the 25th chapter, the 41st verse. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Before this throne, he is able to dispense his throne of justice. And then on the other hand, we see a throne of grace, where we may be able to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's look at Psalms, the 85th chapter and the 10th verse. It said, mercy and truth go before the face of him who sits on the throne. And I like this little part in the King James Bible, the Cambridge edition. It says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have merged together. In Psalms, the 45th chapter, the 6th to the 7th verse. In the 6th verse, it says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. And what a scepter is a staff held by someone as an emblem of authority. And in the 7th verse, it says, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above all your fellows. Let's look at Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the 16th verse. We read of the throne of grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy and truth go before the face of him who sits on it. A joyous sound of peace, pardon, and salvation issued forth from it for perishing sinners. Also, terror and amazement, death and ruin are the fruits of God appearing to sinners from the throne of justice. But if we look closely with our spiritual eyes, it's a throne of grace that is intended. God does not want sinners to be lost, but if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, he must render his justice. In Romans, the 5th chapter, the 21st verse. So that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. By this throne of grace, we can understand God manifesting himself in our own nature and dealing with sinners through Christ according to the grace of the gospel. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 19th to the 21st verse. The 19th verse is, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That throne for 21st verse says, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God to him, in him. You need not be at a loss where to find this throne of grace. You may be shut up in a prison or driven to the utmost parts of the earth, away from friends and family, yet you cannot be driven away from the throne of grace. In a word, there is no place on this side of hell that you may not find this throne, because God in Christ is a God everywhere present. In Acts 17, chapter 28, verse, for in him we live and move and have our being. What is the way we are to take to reach the throne of grace? There is only one way, and that is Christ. In John 14, chapter 6, verse, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As Christ, our God in Christ, is the throne, so he is also the way to the throne. Christ is the sinner's way to God, as well as God's way to the sinners. In Hebrew, the 10th chapter, the 19th through the 20th verse, we have boldness to enter into the holiest of the blood of Jesus by a new and living way which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In John the 10th chapter, the 9th verse, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. This is the narrow gate that leads to God, and few be that find it. This path leads us to the throne of grace to reconcile God. Hence we read of the rending of the veil of the temple from top to bottom at the death of Christ. This then is the gate of God, and by it the sinners may and the saints thus enter to the courts of the great King and come to his seat and kneel at his feet. Some of us have a misnotion that we actually come to the throne of grace every time we give our physical selves as to go into prayer, our physical attending church, hearing the word, or responding to the altar call in church. These eternal riches are but the outer gates and the porches by which we come to the throne. They are public rituals instituted by a particular denomination. But a man who comes to these gates stops short and never comes to the throne. Of such the Lord complained, said in Matthew 15, chapter 8 to the 9th verses, those people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In the 9th verses, but in vain they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. In Psalms 120, verse chapter, in the 3rd verse, if thou should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? True coming or drawing near to the throne of grace is an inward thing. It is done by an act of the heart. In Romans the 10th chapter, 10th to the 7th verse, 10th to the 17th verse, the 10th verse says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. When the heart goes to God, to Christ, for grace and mercy to help in time of need, that is coming to the throne of grace. So then, through Christ, is the only way to the throne, for he is the throne himself. Join me in next week's Bible study as we learn how to worship God in spirit and in truth. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And may the Lord give you peace.